Radio Daily for Anti-Friday, but you know, that's okay. We're doing well. We're doing a lot better than poor Iron Fist did. Sorry, dude. We barely knew. Hi, welcome to the 15th of October, 2018. We're the fantastic folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. You know us from Facebook and Twitter and places along those lines. The folks bringing it to you today, well, that there's a lady that looks at me every single day and says those same magical words to get my day going off right, as she always does. That's the Flintstress.
There's something really wrong with you.
Hey there, I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
Cynical, elitist, rakishly good-looking.
That's what's wrong with me. What happened this fine day, yo?
Wow, well, in 1783, Frenchman Jean Pilatre de Rosier makes a tethered captive balloon ascent in the gardens of La Muette. The Montgolfier-made balloon, aerostat Revelion, carrying the first man to leave the Earth, wow, rose to the end of a 250-foot tether and remains aloft for 15 minutes before landing safely nearby. Wow.
1878, Thomas Edison establishes the Edison Electric Light Company in New York City with a syndicate of leading financiers. So, gangsters, including J.P. Morgan and the Vanderbilts. See? See, it's all right there.
Wow. In 1910, the first air sea rescue using radio saves the crew of the airship America.
1950, the first American radio paging service, AirCall of New York City, sends the first page to a doctor who was on, wait for it, a golf course 25 miles away.
Wow. I wonder if it was a paging code, 841. In 1953, the British nuclear test detonation, Totem 1, takes place at Emu Field in South Australia.
1956, the first Fortran reference manual is published 6 months before the first compiler's release. 60 pages long, large print, wide margins. The language itself is relatively brief. And thank you, Professor Herbst, for making me appreciate every one of those things.
In 1981, New Line Cinema releases the horror comedy film The Evil Dead, directed by Sam Raimi, starring Bruce Campbell, Ellen Sandweiss, and Betsy Baker.
I suppose that one still counts as a horror comedy. Also in 81, Target Books releases the Doctor Who novel An Unearthly Child by Terrence Dix. It's a fantastic story. You should absolutely read that.
In 1982, Darren Olson scores 15,207,353 points on Atari's Centipede at Reflection Fun Center in Calgary, Alberta, Canada.
1991, Tor Books releases the fantasy novel The Dragon Reborn by Robert Jordan. It's the third book in the Wheel of Time series.
In 92, Digital Pictures releases Night Trap for personal computers and Sega game consoles in the U.S. Although the game is a pioneer in the field of full motion video, it is also a highly controversial due to a full motion scene in which a young girl in a nightgown is murdered, although the scene is intended to be comedic. Okay. It is also one of the first games to ever feature a real-life media star, television actress Dana Plato, of the popular series Different Strokes.
And the movie Jack and Jill. Virgin Books releases the Doctor Who novel Love and War by Paul Cornell. Again, read it.
In 97, NASA launches the Cassini probe from Cape Canaveral on a mission to Saturn.
2000, Nintendo releases Pokemon Gold and Pokemon Silver for the Game Boy Color in North America. That's right, two different games released at the same time. You need them both to unlock everybody.
In 2003, China launches the Shenzhou 5, becoming the third nation to send a man into space.
Isn't that right, Richmond Trivia players? Just last week. Gosh, we should have had that sooner. Birthdays?
Bailey Madison is 29 from Bridge to Terabithia and Don't Be Afraid of the Dark and Good Witch.
Dominic West is 49 from The Wire, 300, Punisher Warzone, and John Carter.
Gutz Otto is 51. I don't know why I said it like that. It had umlaut. Tomorrow Never Dies, Beowulf, Iron Sky.
I would imagine the umlaut. Larry Miller is 55 years of age from Pretty Woman, Suburban Commando, Nutty Professor, 10 Things I Hate About You, Get Smart, is an amazing comedian, and yes, you know him for that one incredibly brilliant bit.
Penny Marshall is 75 from Laverne and Shirley.
Linda Lavin is 81 years of age from Alice, The Muppets Take Manhattan, The Intern, and the upcoming Nancy Drew and The Hidden Staircase.
Huh. No longer with us, born in 1881, P.G. Wodehouse, English novelist and playwright, created Jeeves and Wooster.
1917, Jan Miner, that's Madge the Manicurist in those wonderful 70s and early 80s Palmolive commercials.
Okay.
You're soaking in it.
On CBS, we have a new The Neighborhood and Happy Together. Then, an art connoisseur who happens to be a close personal friend of Higgins is found murdered on a new Magnum P.I. and Bull.
ABC, New Dancing with the Stars, and The Good Doctor.
on NBC, we have a new The Voice, and a cryptic message leads Sam Vini to the flight attendant of 828 on a new manifest.
On Fox, it's a new episode of The Resident, and then Awful People on a new 911.
That's just awful people awful. Call 911. On the CW, we have a new Arrow, and Constantine, the legend continues.
It's an animated thing. It's really cool. The little thing they did on their seed, whatever. AMC is showing The Exorcist, followed by the incredibly awful film, Exorcist 2, The Heretic. Hmm. Wow. Richard Burton was drinking a lot.
On Disney XD, Kaz and BB-8 discover important information regarding an imminent pirate attack on a new Star Wars Resistance.
On the Food Channel, Halloween wedding cakes on a new Halloween baking championship.
Sure. On FX, we get Pitch Perfect 2.
FX6 now. Simpsons, it's Codependence Day, My Big Fat Geek Wedding, and Fraudcast News.
FXM is showing The Fantastic Four.
I wonder which bad version that's going to be.
Who knows?
It's the newest one. BBC America will be showing Mad Max 2. For all the Americans, it's The Road Warrior.
Right. Paramount has Fast and Furious, followed by Too Fast, Too Furious.
Turner Classic Movies will be showing Bedknobs and Broomsticks.
While in sci-fi, we get the Vatican tapes.
VH1 with a new Love and Hip Hop Hollywood. But we're going to be watching the Sci-Fi Channel because a group of highly trained, debaucherous exorcists who offer their bodies for demon possession and kill themselves to guarantee the demon's return to the underworld must battle a demon bent on opening the gates of hell. Clifton Gonzalez and Clancy Brown star in Hellbenders.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what soap opera's Billy Flynn is doing today. It's your Days of Our Lives Chad update. Kristen is furious when Brady admits he's been playing her. And he's like, look, you gonna tell me if that's Jack Devereaux with the bandages or not? Mimi asks Chloe to convince Lucas to reconsider his custody battle. Which is gonna be tricky since she's being blackmailed and can't give the good reason that'll make him stop. Eric, Nicole, and Sammy agree to team up. Wonder triplet powers activate.
Nice.
The mystery patient calls out a familiar name. Red Herring! Wait, did he say that with a British accent? Hashtag Chabby. Forever.
Ooh, it's time to check your mailbox.
Indeed it is. Hey, GRD.
Hey.
I am woefully behind in my podcast listening, but I about lost it after the September 18th episode, as I am indeed one of the six people who got your reference to one Captain Bucky O'Hare. Did you say Bucky? I said Bucky. Well played, geeks. Very well played. That is from Tommy. Well, Tommy, you are welcome. Anytime you're one of those magic people that get the incredibly obscure joke that only you and I
know about
by all means, drop a note to podcast@geekradiodaily.com. Of course, you could always send a voicemail expressing all the joy through the emotion in your voice by calling
510-GRD-CREW.
And just keep smiling.
Dust off your top hat and polish up your brass goggles. It's time for the 10th annual Geek Gala, Gears and Ghouls. The geekiest Halloween party in the South. Join us Saturday, November 3rd at Noah's Event Center in Charlotte, North Carolina for a night of steampunk and sugar skulls. Strut your stuff and show off your cosplay in the costume contest. Test your knowledge in the trivia challenge. Or if you think you got the moxie, enter the Geek's Got Talent contest for a chance to win a $200 cash prize. We will also be raffling off our amazing geeky goodie baskets filled to the brim with spectacular items. Raffle tickets are $1 each, with all proceeds going to benefit the Dave Thomas Foundation. The gala will be hosted by the adorably naughty Podcasting's Rich Siegfried and will include musical performances from Valentine Wolf, Matricula, comedy rock god Mikey Mason, and the Extraordinary Contraptions. Tickets and information available at geekgala.com. Buy your tickets before October 1st and receive a free t-shirt. Warning, the Geek Gala is not intended for small children or for those without a sense of humor. You will not want to miss this extraordinary evening.
I'm Casey Biggs, Damar on Deep Space Nine, and you are listening to Geek Radio Daily.
Hey, don't forget your discount code of GRD. If it's still working, it's still working, right? I think so. God, I should know these things. I should know lots of things. Of course, right now, what I need to know is what people did this weekend, yo.
Well, people went to the movies, sort of. This week's 10, last week's 6. A Simple Favor made $1.38 million. It's made a little over $52 million in 5 weeks.
I would have thought anybody would have watched someone get a cup of sugar. This week's 9, last week's 13. The Hate You Give. $1.7 million. It's made $2.4 million in 2 weeks.
I started reading that book, and then I had to, there was a book club at school, and so many kids wanted to join. I gave my book to to one of the kids and like haven't finished reading it yet.
So The Hate U Give was the book.
It's really, really good. This week's 8, last week's 5. The House with a Clock in Its Walls made another $3.9 million. It's made 62 in 4 weeks.
This week, 7 is a brand new one, which I thought would have done better. Bad Times at the El
Shirtless
Royale.
Shirtless Chris Hemsworth.
See, you leave Jeff Bridges out of the promos, and it doesn't look as interesting anymore. $7.2 million, budget of 32. We'll see how it goes.
This week, 6, last week's 4. Night School. 2018, they needed to, you know.
Well, there's different
sure
ones.
You knew.
Yeah, absolutely.
Made $8 million. It's made almost $60 million in 3 weeks.
This week's 5, last week's 3, Smallfoot, $9.3 million, 57.6 in 3 weeks.
This week's 4 is new, Goosebumps 2, Haunted Halloween, made $16 million, budget of 35.
This week's 3 is also new, First Man, The Right Stuff, but just one guy, $16.5 million on a budget of $59
million. Is it really just one person the whole? It can't be. I mean, there's other people in the movie,
as opposed
obviously.
To The Right Stuff, which was about all of the people in the...
Got it. This week's 2, last week's 2, A Star is Born made another 28 million. Right, yes. Made another 28 million. It's made 94 million on a budget of 36.
The number one movie in America is still Venom 2018, which has made 35.7. There was another movie called Venom. It's made 142 million in 2 weeks on a budget of 100 million. It's doing fantastically.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Geek News!
Take a look at the world from a geeky point of view. I'm sure by now you've seen it, but Marvel has fired another storytelling talent because of things said on social media. Guardians of the Galaxy writer-director James Gunn, of course, was kicked off for things he said so many long ago. But now Star Wars Aftermath author Chuck Wendig has also been let go thanks to some things that he shared on Twitter. Now let's get this right. So he wrote the book Star Wars Aftermath, which introduced LGBTQ characters, and a bunch of people decided that they were going to hate on him. He got tons of harassment about it.
How dare he?
And he said things that people generally tend to say to other people when they're being dicks on social media. And it only got worse when The Last Jedi came out and, you know, all the Russian bots jumped in on that nonsense. So he became a controversial figure in the community for his outspoken personality online, and it's culminated in his firing from Star Wars Shadow of Vader issues 4 and 5. What he said, "Today I got the call, I'm fired because of the negativity and vulgarity that my tweets bring. Seriously, that's what Mark, the editor, said. It was too much politics, too much vulgarity, too much negativity on my part, which of course is their decision to make. I'm not their boss. My understanding over this call was that a Marvel decision, not an LFL decision, but I can't confirm that. The editor said he made the call. He seemed genuinely upset at my tweets and profanity, so maybe that's accurate, and again, that's his right to do. If they honestly feel that my presence will damage the book, I don't want that. I want the book to shine. And artists like Juan Ramirez and Greg Smallwood do their amazing thing. Artists like that are gods in my mind, so I'm happy not to distract from their literal magic. But it does set a troubling precedent, one we've seen already. James Gunn, Jessica White, and so on. Folks fired because they riled up the wasp nest of Asterisk Gate." And that's just a fantastic statement right there. That's amazing. Now, it looks like he only got canned from the comic and not from the Star Wars books itself, but Marvel felt like his online presence hurt the overall brand, so who the hell knows? All I know is DC's looking for some good writers.
Well, speaking of hiring, you know, hiring new people, think about it, though. Like, wouldn't it be cool if there was AI that could at least sort of sift through resumes? You'd think, like, doing keyword searches through resumes, artificial intelligence and different algorithms could say, okay, these are the top, you know, 5 candidates, 10 candidates, go forth with these. So you wouldn't have to spend so much time personally looking through them. Well, Amazon has been working on this for a very long time, since early 2014, which, you know, sounds like a long time, but, you know, in computers, it is kind of a long time.
Like 100,000 years.
And it had a really hard time with it because it kept failing in a lot of ways, including somehow in the algorithm, it is really, really sexist. It was like discriminating against women.
Well, it was written by men.
Like it was, because when Amazon, the data they originally had available was people applying for Amazon. And so they were mostly tech positions. So they were mostly guys who were applying when that was like the data that they had to work with. But then eventually, like, keyword searches through the AI brought about, like, it flagging or not, it like pushing ones down to the bottom if it said like they were in charge of the women's chess club or they went to an all women's university that wasn't given as much credence. That wasn't the only thing that it was having a hard time getting right, just to kind of put it out there. It was also
like paying more attention to verbs and not as much of skills in a lot of instances was returning like unqualified candidates for different jobs. They've completely scrapped the program for right now. So, I mean, like there's lots of companies who are also looking into this, and it's not like it's never going to be a thing for you to, you know, get a job based on a computer algorithm.
Right.
But essentially, they're run into some major stumbling blocks with hiring, specifically using AI.
So if you know Freaker Sneaks, you know it's not what the people who don't know what it is think it is. It's a company that produces super small runs of custom sneakers. These are the people that took the Air Jordans and made limited edition Super Nintendo and NES versions of the sneakers, and now there is a Game Boy pair, and wow. Wow is right, because they cost you $1,350 a pop, and like most of the stuff they make at Freaker Sneaks, there's only going to be about 10 pairs sold. Neither you or I were ever going to get our hands on these fantastic grayish sneakers. The right one, the tongue of the shoe sticking out, is like the case for Super Mario Land. The one on the left shoe is the screen of the Game Boy.
Man.
On the back of the left sneaker is the digital pad. The two buttons are on the back of the right one. It's beautiful. It's fantastic. And we don't have $1,350 to make it happen.
If we win the lottery tomorrow, you can have those shoes.
Aw, thank you. A plastic Game Boy cartridge actually serves as the hang tag for your shoes, because you just don't set these on the floor.
Oh, no.
Come on now. $1,350. What is the bad part?
I'm surprised more people don't hang up their shoes.
We need shoe hangers. Now, somehow, at least to me, this version of Nintendo shoes works a lot better than their other ones. The off-white gray with the yellow and green looks really, really, really close to what it all looked like. Now I want them to really step up their game and show me the Super Game Boy, because there's no way they're doing a Virtual Boy. Nobody wants red shoes, not after Tom Hanks.
There's been some interesting technological updates in the world of 3D printing, kind of cool. Normally, when you think of 3D printing, it's relatively a small scale, unless you sort of see an industrial version of it, and that's like in a laboratory or something like that. But have you ever seen, there's a video online where you see people 3D printing, and they're essentially using concrete, and they create a house, it's like a dome-shaped house. And they follow the 3D printing pattern. It's like a large-scale 3D printer. It's kind of cool, very low cost, very, you know, kind of energy efficient, because concrete is a good insulator. Except that concrete, like, you have to, like, get it, and those supplies aren't always going to be readily available wherever you are. So they've come out with a new technology, and the company is Wasp, and it's called, they used to have one called the Big Delta, and that was the Adobo printing machine that it could do. Their newest one is called the Crane Wasp. The Crane Wasp, and it can print much larger and more complex structures. The design is very similar, but it is something that can print a diameter of 21.6 feet to a height of roughly 10 feet, and it can utilize materials that are found on or near the building site. And this is what's pretty cool. So, I mean, for example, if they were near a rice production field, right, they would have soil, rice husks, straw, and like hydraulic lime would be all mixed together. And they've actually used this to make a house. So it's like, not only is it something that you could do in a small area, you could go to the place where you are and basically make it out of the resources that are available, but yet it's super strong. So far, these have survived in a variety of different weathers. They're calling it Gaia. It's not purely adobo. There were some additional costs, like a little bit for like windows and doors and stuff. But like, think about it, for like $1,000 a house,
that's pretty awesome.
Crazy, right? Small, but you think of like emergency places and...
I've often wanted an emergency house.
No, I mean like places that were damaged during a weather event is what I was looking for more so. You know, Haiti or North Carolina, or you know, when things like hit.
Sure.
And you know, it would be nice to have these kinds of things with zero environmental impact. So it's just kind of... It's kind of neat that people are thinking outside of the box and doing a combination of like technology with found materials and making it happen to help people.
It's kind of cool. Someone gets to remake the song Our House.
Printed in the middle of the street.
Exactly. So your fitness trackers, they're fun little toys. They're fun little tools. I'm sure, you know, you've used it. Oh, this is how fast my heart is. Hey, you try it. Just see. And then how long before you start drinking and thinking, hey, what if we put it on other things? Kind of like happened in China when someone went, hey, what happens if you put a fitness tracker on a roll of toilet paper? As it turns out, you find out it's alive.
What?
Users of the social media platform Weibo...
I did not expect you to say that.
...have been posting images and documenting the process of people attaching their fitness trackers to like a roll of toilet paper and having it return a heart rate of 81 beats per minute. Okay. A coffee mug will get you 72 and a banana 77. But it's not just these type of trackers, the Xiaomi trackers. Then they started trying it with the Apple Watch series and the Android Wear smartwatch and got similar results but lower heart rates. Huh. Now, the deal to fitness trackers is they shoot out the green light. Your blood absorbs green light. So the faster your blood goes in, the more green light it absorbs. And that's how the fitness tracker knows this. So how the hell does it know it about toilet paper? Well, it is super absorbent, especially if you're using quilted northern. Now, bananas and mugs have surfaces that are more reflective than toilet paper. So it makes sense they would provide a heart rate more quickly and consistently than toilet paper. But the engineer report clarified that this doesn't mean the fitness trackers are misreading human heart rates, because they are designed to actually do that. They are not designed to determine whether or not paper has a pulse rate, for instance, but it makes you wonder. Remember all those times? Right? Remember all those times in philosophy class in college when you drank and stuff afterwards and made up things? This is one of those magic moments. The entire universe is alive. We're all energy. And one day, you too will get to be toilet paper. You're welcome. GRD is licensed with the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Non-Derivative Works, United States 3.0 license. You can check us out on Facebook and on Twitter and stop by the website.
GeekRadioDaily.com.
That's the one. GeekRadioDaily.com. Come here. Back here. Is exactly the thing that I was going to say. You messed me up. I wasn't ready for the double team there. Not there. That was very, very, very strange. Go check us out on YouTube.com/GeekRadioDaily. Ooh, what's the Cinema Mistress watched recently? Why don't you come by the site and find out? Or just drop
us
an email.
She goes to movies.
And ask me some questions. Ask everyone some questions. It's podcast@GeekRadioDaily.com. Or you can send the voicemail too.
510-GRD-CROW.
And that's just the way it works.
Blah, 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 blah.
Well, we have nothing big and flashy to show you this week.
Well, that went well.
Good night, suckers!
Well, I thought every part of it was good, but overall I hated it.
I feel exactly the opposite, but to say.
I'm Sims, SCAT Team Commander, SCAT Mission 230. Five teenage girls on their way to a weekend house party at the old Lakeshore Winery House of Mr. and Mrs. Victor Martin and their two children, Jeff and Sarah. Your mission, protect those five girls from whatever happened to another bunch of teenagers. This is my attack squad. And that's Kelly, one of my best undercover agents. She'll be arriving with the rest of the girls. I'm putting her life and the lives of those other girls in your hands. Don't even think of messing up. If you don't have the brains or the guts for this assignment, give the controls to someone who does. The girls should be pulling into the driveway. You're wasting time. Get over there now. Looks like you're not up for this mission. Breaking contact.